Romans chapter 12. We're in the midst of a series of messages under the theme, The Battle for America. And today we come to a message entitled, The Media, The Battle for the Mind. The Media, The Battle for the Mind. For you see, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. And whoever controls the thinking of a group of people, of a society, of a nation, ultimately will determine their behavior. And so today, I want us to focus in on the tremendous influence and power that the media of our nation has today in controlling the thought patterns of our nation, and therefore, ultimately, controlling how we as a society live and act and behave. Now the text today is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And so would you follow along, please, as I read this verse of Scripture. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That is God's command to His people, which is a negative command, to guard against conformity to worldliness. But there is a positive command. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God commands us to avoid conformity to the world, but to be transformed, and we do that by having our minds renewed. Then, the Word says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. According to a recent survey conducted by the Gallup organization, there is no difference in the moral value system of Americans who attend church as opposed to Americans who do not go to church. Now, I know there are exceptions in either case there, but as a general rule, Americans who attend worship and church and synagogue have the same moral standards, the same ethical system, the same value system as their fellow citizens who never go to church. Now that's a great paradox. How do you explain that? How do you reconcile the fact that those of us, on the average, who go to church, in essence, espouse the same values as folks who don't go to church? How has all this happened? Well, I want to suggest today that this has happened because God's people, Christian people, have allowed their minds to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We have not allowed the Spirit of God and the Word of God to transform our minds and to renew our minds to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead we've allowed the world to mold us and shape us into its pattern. Now, there are many reasons. There are many factors that are responsible for this, and ultimately behind all of it is Satan the adversary. But I'd like to suggest to you that perhaps the most significant factor from man's perspective is the contribution of the media to undermining the value system and the Judeo-Christian ethic which is found revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. Now all the blame doesn't lie at their feet, but I'm convinced that a great majority of it does. And so, when I speak of the media, I'm referring to ABC and NBC and CBS, Time and Newsweek and the New York Times and the Washington Post and radio stations, independent television stations, Hollywood movies, many videos, newspapers, magazines, a world of things that bombard us constantly, day after day, week after week, year after year, with a message which is in essence anti-God, anti-morality, and which causes us to lose our confidence in the reality of God and the integrity of His Word. Now you say, well, Pastor, those are some pretty bold statements. What do you base that on? Well, there's an overwhelming amount of evidence that leads me to say that. In just 30 years, our nation has gone from the place where no one had a television to where almost every household in America has a television. There are more households with televisions than households with bathtubs. Maybe that means we have dirty minds and dirty bodies. I don't know. But according to a recent Nielsen survey, and I quote, children under 5 years of age watch an average of 23 and a half hours of television a week. Today's typical high school graduate has logged at least 15,000 hours before the television screen, more time than he has spent on any other activity except sleep. At present levels of advertising, he will have been exposed to 350,000 commercials and vicariously participated in 18,000 killings. Nielsen says the conclusion is inescapable. After parents, television has become perhaps the most potent influence on the beliefs, attitudes, values, and behavior of the young. Close quote. According to Dr. James P. Comer, Associate Dean of the Yale University Medical School, all authority figures have less influence today than in the past. Ministers, teachers, policemen, and parents included. People are exposed to TV much more than they are exposed to church, school, or family. Television is a model, he says, and people use it as a model for their behavior. And often television is a bad model. It doesn't promote desirable social behavior. Its only purpose is to get your attention and entertain you. Other studies show that teenagers listen to an estimated 10,500 hours of rock music between the 7th and 12th grades alone, which is just 500 hours less than the total amount of time they spend in school from 1st grade to 12th grade. Critics count at least 18 acts of violence in each hour of videos. In a recent popular movie, Rambo, which I did not see, in case you're wondering, not counting the groups of people which were exterminated in a 70-plus explosions on the show, there were 44 specific killings, an average of one death every 2.1 minutes in a 93-minute film. At least 60 major motion pictures in the past 5 years were counted by Parade magazine as favorably depicting the recreational use of drugs. Favorably depicting that. Bing Crosby was a famous Hollywood singer and actor. Just before he died, he wrote an article in which he said, "It became apparent to me that very slowly and very subtly, writers and producers were working nudity, permissiveness, provocative dialogue, smutty innuendos, and situations into their shows." He went on to say that when he voiced his protest to television executives, they replied to him, "We are merely depicting life as it is." To which Crosby responded, "I fear they are depicting life as it's going to be if they are not diverted." And that's been a number of years ago, and we've certainly seen the fulfillment of his prophecy in these recent years. Dr. Bradley Greenberg, researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, found that 94% of televised intimate scenes involve unmarried partners. 94%. Now my question is, in the first place, why do we have intimate scenes on television to start off with? There's some things you just don't put on the airwaves. But if we must have it, can we at least not have them to be husband and wife? But 94 out of 100 intimate scenes on television involve unmarried partners. And Greenberg went on to say that the effect of this imbalance on young viewers would be devastating. He says they will have a hard time separating reality from fantasy. And he furthermore said they might easily conclude that unmarried couples have a lot more going for them than married couples. Red Skelton, famous comedian, said of the media, they sell violence. They say this doesn't affect your mind in any way whatsoever, but if you can subliminally sell a product in 30 seconds, what does 1 hour of filth and violence do to you? Perhaps the most devastating indictment of all is the survey done by Robert Leichter, political scientist at George Washington University, and Stanley Rothman of Smith College. It's received widespread publicity, and perhaps some of you have seen it. According to these two researchers, who interviewed a large number of key Hollywood and New York movie producers, writers, directors, script writers, and also for television and network executives and publishers and so forth and so on, they said that top Hollywood creators of entertainment fare on television today are, and I quote, predominantly secular in outlook, they are politically liberal, and they shun religion. It also found, this study did, that they seek to reform society according to their views. This survey found that the value orientation of these media elite who control what's on the airwaves for the most part of our nation, their value orientation is fundamentally different from that of the general public, you and me. On issues such as abortion, homosexual rights, and extramarital sex, their views diverge sharply from traditional moral values. Now get this. 93% of Hollywood professionals turning out the main television entertainment seldom or never attend religious services. 93 out of 100 seldom or never go to church or synagogue. Furthermore, while most of them came out of religious backgrounds, 45% now say they have no religion at all. And of the 55% who state a religious, not belief, but a religious preference, as we saw a moment ago, only 7% ever attend church as much as once a month. And maybe that explains why we have on television and movies what we have. Maybe that explains why you seldom see anybody on television or movies today go to church or worship God or mention God except in vain or profanity. Among these television entertainment makers, this media elite, get this, 80% do not regard homosexual relations as wrong. And of course, they write their philosophy into their programs. They do it with humor, subtly. 51% do not regard adultery as wrong. And nearly all of them, 97%, believe in the right to an abortion. Among TV entertainment makers, 75% call themselves political liberals. Now, whatever their views are, this is a free nation. And I don't disagree with their right to hold whatever view they hold. What I'm trying to suggest is they are out of touch with mainstream middle America. 75% call themselves political liberals, but only 27% of the nation as a whole would identify with that term. Most of these TV entertainment creators are white males from urban centers, 82% being reared in metropolitan areas, mostly in California and in northeastern cities. Very few have roots in middle America. And yet, do they represent us? When we go home and turn on the television, do we see things that pretty much espouse a Christian worldview or a Judeo-Christian ethic or just common moral decency and values that you and I were raised to believe in? We did 25 years ago, but we don't see that now. If we do, it's very rare. And so what we have today is a handful of media people, basically anti-God, secularists, humanists, without any absolute moral standards, who control the airwaves, the networks, the media outlets, and in their own subtle sort of way, they begin to bombard us day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year with their immoral philosophy, and it begins to filter down into our spirit, and we begin to believe it subtly and subliminally. Lee Rich, producer of Dallas, Knott's Landing and Flamingo Road and other assorted trash, who is 60 years of age, boasts. Here's a man 60 years old, boasts that he has not been to church since he was 17 years of age. A man who says he knows many leading Hollywood producers and actors and directors and says he doesn't know of a single one that goes to church. Now, there are those that go to church. And you know who some of them are. There are a few. This man says, I don't know anybody that goes to church. As far as he's concerned, it's outdated and outmoded. I'm told that 20 million American housewives watch soap operas regularly. In their book, Remote Control, Frank Manowitz and Joel Swerdlow said, the soap operas are the single greatest shaping, or responsible for the single greatest shaping of the morals in the American home. The soap operas. Now, maybe a generation ago, the soap operas were innocent. But they're not anymore. There's no place for a man or woman to watch that. It just promotes an immoral lifestyle. It promotes wife swapping, marital unfaithfulness. It promotes drunkenness. It promotes a lifestyle where God is not mentioned except in vain. God is a non-entity as far as they're concerned. And not just soap operas. Most of what's on prime time, folks. Let's just go ahead and go all the way. When is the last time you saw a television program? I don't mean a rerun, an Andy Griffith rerun. That show's A-OK. And it'd do you good to watch it two or three times a week. But when is the last time you saw a current television show or movie that portrayed a godly preacher? And when we have a preacher, which is seldom, it's Marjo, it's Elmer Gantry, or it's some turkey that doesn't have any brains, he's an idiot, or he's crooked on the side. When's the last time you saw a television program or a movie that portrayed a normal, traditional family going to church on Sunday? For the most part, it's just left out. And when it is portrayed, Christians, for the most part, are portrayed in an unfavorable light. Now, God has a description for these people, this media elite. It's found in the book of Jude. Turn to the book of Jude. Go to Revelation and back up one page. Jude, just one chapter. It's what you might call a postcard epistle. Jude, verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Verse 8. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies. Identify with that? Some of these guys. Who's the guy that shot himself up with cocaine? Reject authority and slander celestial beings. Verse 16. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow. their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. That may have been written 1900 years ago, but it's a pretty good description. Not of all, don't misunderstand me, but of a large number of the people who control what's produced in Hollywood today. What we see on the airwaves, television, videos, movies. My dear brother and sister in Christ, there is a battle which rages for the control of your mind. The adversary, the enemy, is seeking to control your mind, because if he can control your mind, he'll control your behavior. The Bible is emphatically clear: as a man thinks, so is he. We are what we think. And sooner or later, our behavior will catch up with our thinking. Now, the mind is a very intricate and complex part of our body. It is so complex, it's like a Xerox photocopier, it's like a Polaroid instant camera, it's like a 1,000 IBM computers, it's like a VCR, it's like a widescreen projector, it's like a billion film cartridges. It's just amazing what the mind, the human brain, is and can do. It has more capability than any computer anywhere. And it has both involuntary and voluntary functions. Now, you and I can't control what we do about the involuntary part of our mind. I mean, it's just there to regulate our bodies. We don't get up in the morning and program our brains to set our body temperature at 98.6 degrees, do we? I mean, it just happens. You don't get up in the morning and say, "Now, brain, I want my heart to beat 80 beats a minute today." It just beats. That's the involuntary part of our brain. It controls our breathing. It controls our nervous system, our circulation system. It just controls our body. It's an amazing creation of God. But there's a voluntary part of our brain that we can and must control. And the voluntary part of our brain is controlled by what we see and hear. And there are four receptacles to the voluntary part of our brain: two eyes and two ears. And you see, everything we see and everything we hear is recorded on the lobes of our brain. It's there. It's there permanently. Now you say, "Well, I can't remember all the things I've heard or seen." No, maybe not, but it's there. Things recorded consciously, things recorded subconsciously. It's there. Forever. Just there. That's why it's so important that we do what we can to control what we hear and what we see, because it's recorded on our minds. And you see, our feelings and our behavior is determined what's in our minds. And so if we program garbage in, then garbage is going to come out. But if we program in the righteousness of God and His holy word, then righteousness will be the result. Now, the media people know this. They're not stupid. They're getting rich at our expense, folks. They know that things that we might not consciously accept, we will accept subconsciously, subliminally. Just pick them up, not even knowing we're picking it up. I mean, how many of you, tell me, how many of you have ever found yourself driving down the road or walking somewhere, humming a beer commercial? Anybody? Well, a few of you, be honest. I have. A few things make me angrier than to find myself halfway through a beer commercial I've been humming or singing. I don't drink it, don't touch it, don't want anything to do with it. And here I am going around singing an advertisement for beverage alcohol. Now, do you think I ever sat down one day and got my pencil out and waited till the next beer commercial came on? We didn't have to wait very long, because they come on regularly. And then I'm going to write all the words down and try to catch the tune, and then I'm going to carry little cards around and learn it. Huh. They just pound it on us, don't they? You know, it just comes. Day after day after day, we hear it. And subconsciously, we learn it. It's in our subconscious. And it'll do damage if we don't understand the grace and power of Jesus. Now, the advertisers know that. They know that what we don't accept consciously, we often will accept subconsciously. That's why they're willing to pay $250,000 just for the production cost of a 60-second commercial. And willing to pay $100,000+ to air that 60-second commercial one time, and to pay as much as $1 million, which was paid last Sunday, to advertise a 60-second commercial in the midst of the Super Bowl. Because they know that it'll have its impact in our thinking. Now, if just one little 60-second commercial will do that, think about what 60 minutes of Dallas and Dynasty and Knott's Landing and the soap operas are going to do in your thinking and in your behavior. Man, it's going to influence you. It's going to influence how you think. And when your thinking's influenced, it's going to influence exactly how you live. The battle rages for the soul of America, and the media is seeking to undermine. I don't think they know what they're doing, really. If they could see the ultimate consequences, I do believe they'd change. But they are undermining the moral fabric and spiritual integrity and character of our nation. And if something's not done, we will absolutely collapse from within. Our greatest danger is not the Soviet Union. It is moral rot and decay. Now, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ don't have to be impacted negatively by the media. Our destiny is in our hands as we submit to Jesus as Lord. They can't manipulate us because we have the power of God. We have the shield of faith. We have the blood of Christ. We have all these weapons at our disposal to do battle with the enemy. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're just a sitting target. Now, what can you and I do? I want to suggest six things that you and I can do. I want you to take pen and pencil in hand and write these down. Six things that you and I can do in the battle for the mind. Number one, we can engage in a media fast. Engage in a media fast. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, when we think about fasting, we think about the abstinence from food in order that we might seek God, and that is fasting. But I want to suggest today that a fast from the media is a legitimate way to do battle with this evil. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about just unplugging the set for 24 hours or 48 hours or a few days or ever how long you feel like you need to do it. Just withdraw from movies, television, that sort of thing, for a stated period of time. I didn't say totally withdraw. If you want to do that, I don't have any problem with that, but I'm just saying a fast. And when you fast from food, you don't quit eating altogether. Sooner or later, you'll die. So we're talking about a time withdrawal for a certain period of time, and then you cease to fast. Now, remember, Jesus said in Matthew 6:16, when you fast. And then he goes on to say in that verse and the following verses, how it is that we ought to go about fasting. But it's important to note there that Jesus said we would fast. He just said, when you fast, this is how you do it. Now, part of following Jesus is to engage in fasting. Our day of prayer and fasting set for tomorrow, you ought to do that. If you don't have that, if you don't choose that day, have a day of your own, monthly or weekly or quarterly or whatever. But do it, because Jesus said we're supposed to do it. And if He's Lord, we do whatever He tells us to do, you see. So Jesus said, when you fast. Now, for those people who say they don't have time to read God's Word and pray, the best solution I know is a media fast. Most folks who don't have time to spend as 30 minutes a day in the Word and in prayer don't have time, but they do have time to watch their favorite television programs. Right? Next time you say to God, Boy, I sure wish I could get in the Word and learn about the Word. I sure wish I could spend some time in prayer with the Lord. But I just don't have time. I'm so busy. Just reach over and put your Bible in your lap while you watch that television program and tell God that. Just tell God, I don't have time, God, because I'm busy watching. It might even be something good. It's not a matter of we don't have time. It's a matter that our priorities are not right. Our priorities are based on the things of this world and temporal pleasures and sensuality and not on the things of eternity. The best solution I know for that excuse is a media fast. Number two, watch and read what is wholesome. Watch and read only that which is wholesome. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 3. Now the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Christians in Ephesus. And he said to those first century Christians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We used to live in the darkness before we came to know Jesus, but now we're in the light." Then he says, "Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." Now, folks, it's just as shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret in 1986 as it was when the Apostle Paul penned those words in the first century A.D. But not only are we mentioning it, we're broadcasting on the airwaves for everybody to see, including preschool children, including things that are broadcast into the televisions of the homes of this community. The Bible says don't have anything to do with darkness. I confess to you, when I was a child, there would be things that would come on that are not even considered risque now that would cause me to blush and be embarrassed, and I've sat and watched things and just not even batted an eyelash. Very little wholesome to watch. You have to go a long way to find something. Took my family to a PG movie yesterday. Local paper said it was the best movie of 1985. Local paper's wrong. It's trash. I go to a movie once or twice a year. I think I've gone to my last movie. PG, R, G, 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 G. I don't care what it is. I'm tired of getting burned. After the first sermon today, someone came up to me and said that Disney has now produced their first R-rated movie. Where can you go find something that's decent? Where can you find something that's not filled with marital unfaithfulness and wife swapping and sexual immorality and violence and killing and blood and gore? Where? We need to guard what we hear and guard what we see and guard what we read. Just sometimes turn that button off. Now, I read about one mother who learned how to control the TV violence that was exposed that her children were exposed to. Get this. She made a rule that whenever a man or woman was killed or hurt in a TV program they were watching, they had to turn it off. Not a bad idea, is it? She said many times her children would say as they watched the show, "Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him!" She also reported that the average time that her children got to watch a television program was 5 minutes. Number three, write letters of protest. If you see something you don't like, write the network. Write the local station. The local stations often will be more responsive than the networks will, but write them both. Write the manufacturers who advertise shows that you find morally offensive. Write them a postcard. Write them a letter. Call them up and protest. Some advertisers, some manufacturing companies have pulled their sponsorship of programs as a result of people with moral values raising a voice of protest. Number four, and this ties in somewhat with something else I've already said, read the Bible and other wholesome literature at least as much as you look at television and read, well, not ever read unwholesome literature. But for every hour you spend watching TV, try to spend an hour either reading the Word or reading some Christian book. Some book of doctrine or some book of history or some book of a biography of a great Christian saint. But just try to balance it out so that you don't get out of balance yourself. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm number 119, verse 37. Psalm 119, verse 37 says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Renew my life according to your word." Before we can have our life renewed by the word of God, we must turn our eyes away from that which is worthless. And a lot of what's on the airwaves today is, in fact, worthless. So read your Bible and other wholesome literature at least as much as you watch television or videos or whatever. Number five. Listen to sermons on tape and Christian music on records and tape. Listen to sermon tapes and music that honors the Lord by tape. I think one of the wisest things you can do is invest in a cassette tape player and put one in the automobile of your car. You can have them installed on the dash or just have one there on the front seat. And as you travel about on your errands or you're making a trip, instead of listening to some obnoxious something on the radio, put in a sermon of some preacher and just listen to the Word of God being explained and have your spirit and your soul edified. Now, that's what I do. I have a cassette player in the dash of my car. Whenever I'm going somewhere, I don't have to listen to the radio. I've always got a stack of sermon tapes that I'm listening to. I don't listen to myself, by the way. I can't handle that. About once a year, I'll get my nerve up and do it, and then it takes me about a year to get over it. But I listen to other men that I respect and admire, and I find my life being blessed and edified as they proclaim the Word of God. Buy albums of Christian people that honor the Lord, and just let the Spirit of God use that godly music to minister to you in your spirit and encourage you to praise and worship and adore the Lord. And then number six. And this is a bit of a twist from the other five because the other five are somewhat reactive. But number six, pursue the media as a vocation. Now, I'm talking to all of you, but I'm talking especially to students. That's most of us in this service. Some of you students ought to give serious consideration to pursuing the media as your life's vocation. I mean, why can't one of you replace Tom Brokaw someday as the anchorman on the NBC Nightly News? Why can't a godly, spirit-filled man give the news on the CBS Evening News? Why not? How come one of you can't be the publisher of the Washington Post or the editor of Time Magazine? How come some of you can't go to Hollywood and write family-type programming? Serious and comedy. Why not? You see, part of the problem lies at our feet. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. This is the last reference we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 5. You see, unfortunately, all too often, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has had this kind of fortress mentality, and when things get bad, we just back up and we close the gates and we say, well, just leave us alone and we'll do our little thing in here while the world races toward Armageddon. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 13, you, talking about His disciples, are the salt of the earth. And in verse 14, you are the light of the world. I say it's time for God's people, people that believe in God, who believe in the inerrancy and the infallibility of His inspired Word, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior from sin, who believe that the Ten Commandments have not been repealed and that God's Word is still as true today as it was thousands of years ago, would begin to influence the media today and be salt and light for Jesus' sake. Why don't we just surrender and let them have it? We have people that think as creatively and as brilliantly as they do. It is just as valid to be the president of the National Broadcasting Corporation, or as to be the editor of the New York Times newspaper, as it is to be pastor of any church anywhere. God has not called us all to do the same thing. And perhaps the Spirit of God has given some of you the intelligence and the creative ability to go to Hollywood, to go to Madison Avenue, to go to New York City, to go to Manhattan, and to take a lowly position there and begin to work your way up through the ladder of success. And there be light and salt for Jesus. You see, Jesus said we're to be salt because salt preserves. Salt prevents moral decay and rot. And our society is absolutely decaying from within, and it is time for God's people to be salt. And I challenge some of you young men to pray about that and to make that a serious matter of your seeking the Lord as regards your life. It'll take a while. It has some impact. We need to obey God. Folks, the battle is real. The enemy is using every means he can to destroy us, to destroy our society, our free republic, to undermine it from without and within. And we need to wake up and get our heads out of the sand and see what's happening and put on the full armor of God and go forth and fight in the name of Jesus. And we shall conquer when we fight in His name. Now when the Lord comes someday, and He's coming, and you stand before God, and He says to you, my child, where were you when the battle was hottest? What are you going to say? I tell you what I want to say. Lord, when the battle raged the hottest, I was right out on the front lines, robed in the righteousness of Jesus, with all the armor that You've given to us, which is listed in Ephesians 6, with the sword of the Spirit, standing for what was true and what was right. And what was God?